Song number 187. All right, for our next song, let's just stay on the page there and go to song number 188, if I can get that out. We now have met to worship thee.
Yeah.
All right, for our last song here, let's turn to song number 244. After this, Dan will have the devotional. So number 244, Teach Me, O Lord. I do tend to like to sing songs a little faster, except for the last one, I guess. But this is one I would like to maybe sing a little faster than we typically do. You know, sometimes I have to, I still hear songs from back in Virginia the way I grew up learning them, and so I'm sometimes surprised at what comes from you all. So I guess just watch me and we'll try to stick together.
Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. I was thinking, not sure why notes always get lost just when they're not supposed to. Anyway, I was thinking about the service this evening and something to share. And also reminded what Joseph shared a little bit about some of the memories he had with singing or songs. People connected to songs. And so I was just trying to think of a remarkable service or time that there was singing that was remarkable, stuck in my memory. And it just kind of was a whole bunch of them, but not necessarily any of them sticking out above the other. So I'd just like to mention a few of them, memories about singing, some of them more intense than others. I don't have my list to go off of here, so we'll see how this goes. In my Zion's Praises, there's a page that has water drops all over it, and I think I've had other people mention this before, singing beside the graveside for Jonas Gingrich while it was raining. It's one time of singing I remember. Singing with friends in Belize, co-workers in the living room. It was probably most enjoyable time of singing informally. Singing in the hallway, in the chorus, in Children's House in Romania. Singing in the hallway there, kind of packed in, and that was some pretty intense practicing, and that was sticks in my memory. Singing here in the chorus, and the time shared there, James often talking to us and sharing a time of testimony, the Lord's Prayer together afterwards, chorus programs, and the time of sharing we had before chorus programs, singing with three other men in a on a porch in a dark night after not so good of circumstances, singing by the bedside of your loved ones when you know they don't have very many days to live. Singing in street meetings when you weren't sure you were being heard, but the songs were carried a tremendous message. And I think maybe some of the memories we have connected with singing or different songs might tell quite a bit about us if we stop to reflect, or if we were able to compile some of these thoughts in a neat package. Maybe a lot of my memories have to do with certain events or relationships. Of course, I remember in particular the singing in street meetings that was connected more with a particular song. And so do all these memories of singing and our time of singing here this evening, do they or will they have an impact on us? Will they draw us closer to God? Will they help us to trust Him more? Just some thoughts in connection to those memories this evening. So I'd like to read Psalm 96 without any other comments. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege we have to come together, and especially the privilege of singing praises to you. We just pray, Lord, that we would search our hearts this evening, and as we think of you and reflect on the different things we'll be singing about, and we just pray that you would help us to continue to reach out to you more and to trust in you more and to just give our lives to you, and also to reach out to those around us. We just commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, it's interesting. I was literally just thinking about those verses before he read them, maybe in part because my students are learning Psalm 96 for their Bible memory right now. And I've just been impressed that, tonight we'll be singing some new songs. The choir will, and you will too, hopefully. But I think a new song is more than just a new hymn. I think that can be part of it. But it talks about God's mercies being new every morning. And so every morning, maybe there should be a new song as well. The song I'd like to sing now is an old song, an important one, and that's song number one in your hymnals, Come Thou Almighty King. And after this song, Heidi Beiler will be leading the children in some singing. And then after that, Kyler has a group that can come and share. I won't get up in between that. Come Thou Almighty King, let's stand for this song. Seated, and the children can come on forward, and then after that, Kyler's group.
strength and calmness from above. Lord, we have wandered forth through doubt and sorrow, and thou hast made each step and onward one, and we will ever trust each unknown morrow. Thou wilt sustain us till its work is done. Now, Father, now in thy dear presence healing, our spirits yearn to feel thy kindling love. Now make us strong, we need thy deep revealing of trust and strength and calmness from above.
All right, thank you guys for sharing that. I think we're really blessed to have a group of young men that enjoy singing like that in our community. Not sure there's just a whole lot of churches out there that are blessed by that. For men who love singing, when you get together and have like a men's music weekend type of thing, there's a camaraderie there in a way that I don't think you get any other place. It's a very manly thing to sing, and feels manly too. So I'm blessed by men singing. Let's turn to song number 445. After this song, church hymnal, always church hymnal. Sorry, I'm not a Christian hymnal guy. I didn't grow up with it, so I stick in the church hymnal usually. After this, Jason is going to be sharing a little bit with us, Jason Miller. I asked him to do something a little bit unusual. Hope you don't mind. I asked him to share a little bit about some books that he has enjoyed reading over the last year. And you might be like, how does that relate to him singing? And, well, it doesn't really, but actually it does, in the sense that, you know, we enjoy, like Joseph shared this morning, all these testimonies that people have written down in song form. And there's many authors out there that have written, made compositions of their own in their own way. And there is things that we can learn from them. And so I think it's healthy for us to be exposed to. I enjoy being exposed. Maybe that's the only reason. I enjoy being exposed to what other people are reading. So that'll be right after this song. 445.
Thank you. Well, the only thing better than actually reading, if you're a reader anyways, is talking about what you're reading. So, but Nathan and Dan both were very, very clear about the time I had to share up here. So I'll make it quick and I'll keep moving. One of the things I am actually a little bit concerned about is, well, I think the question to ask when you read, I think it's a question to ask no matter if you read or if you're listening or if whether it pertains to music, any kind of media, what you're watching, podcasts, the whole thing. There's a little bit of a, I think it's dangerous actually to say, well, do I agree with this person or agree with the way this person lives? That's actually not a great question to ask. The question you should be asking is, how does this influence me? And if you ask that on everything you intake, I think you'll make much healthier choices. And that's all I'm going to say about that, but I think there's more that could be said about that. Okay. Dreams and visions. Now, this one is one that I think these were all supposed to be in the past year, and I think this one, no, actually, I think it was. I think these all are except maybe one. But anyway, Dreams and Visions by Tom Doyle. My wife likes this one too. It was a very inspiring book. It's about how God, stories of how God is working in the Middle East with Muslims and bringing them to Christ. People that have no contact with Christians. And I was just blessed to realize that God is so merciful and so compassionate that he relentlessly seeks these people, and he seeks them even if they're not seeking him. And how much of a blessing is that to realize? And also, if he's doing it there, he can also do it in your backyard. He can do it with your family, he can do it with your friends, and he can do it with your neighbors. And that's I really enjoyed this book. He also writes two others. Women Who Risk is one of them. It's a great book. So Every Good Endeavor by Timothy Keller. This book has been a very, very inspiring book for me to read, and it's been very moving for me. It is a little bit business related, but I really actually think whether you're a business owner, a farmer, an employee, a homemaker, or a student, I really think you should be reading this book. We have co-opted a lot of our theology around work and even some kingdom theology from our neighbor or Protestant neighbors, and we've actually taken it farther than what they have in some areas, in that if we have to work really hard to connect God's kingdom with what we do. Our tendency is to secularize or to categorize our lives, and we do it unintentionally, and we do it without thinking. But this book is very much, it has helped me an awful lot in that area. Our lives and our activities, everything that we do, are supposed to be done for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And evangelizing, church services, missionary activities, relationships, rest, relaxation, labor, and not the least of all, our work is all holy, and we're called to bring Christ into all of it. And it will actually have a very real influence on the decisions we make and the things that we do. So I just, this is probably one of my must reads. Dominion, Steve Overholt talked about this when he was here last time, and it is a very interesting perspective. It's actually written by an atheist that has a lot of, he's almost an apologist for Christian culture, and it traces the story of Christianity from the time of Christ all the way up to now, and it details how what we appreciate, what we enjoy, has been in our entire culture, all of Western culture, is influenced by Christianity. And Steve talked about this a little bit, about the Roman philosophy versus the philosophy of the early church and how distinctive and different they were. It's absolutely eye-opening to read this book and realize that we sort of know it. Like, we look around us and we know that that Christianity does influence the world at large, but when you really dig into it and see how different of a world we live in, the world that Christ came into would be unrecognizable to us today. And lots of people today are saying, well, we can have good values, we can have, we can appreciate each other, we can have sanctity of life, we can look out for the less fortunate, we can do all these things without the influence of Christianity? And the answer is no, you absolutely can't. It all comes from Jesus Christ. It's a bit of a, it's probably not a book for everybody. It's maybe a bit of a bigger book and a little bit heavier read, but it is, if you enjoy reading, I'm sure you'll enjoy that one. He also writes, he's a historian, so he writes on the Roman Empire, Persian Empire, some of those books. So if you like, it's really actually quite interesting to read some of those books as well. Has given me a real appreciation for the world, or not appreciation, but has given, has opened my eyes to the world that, that Jesus Christ was born into. So I hesitate to put this one up here, but it's 12 Rules for Life. And the reason I hesitate is because for years and years I said I wasn't going to read it. And Joseph would be here saying, I told you so. I don't think he's here tonight. But after I read it, it's an absolute must read for, I'm not going to say much about it, but it's a must read for every, I would say, 15-year-old and older. You know, the idea of the influence of victimhood has swept the world, basically. And our churches are not at all, are we all, myself, I should say myself, am not immune to that. We have all been sucked into that somewhat. And this is, it's just a great, great book to open your eyes. And it's, I mean, it's, you can get child raising tips from there. Lots of good stuff just for yourself. And then lastly, if you struggle with a performance mindset, where maybe this is exposing myself a little bit here, but if you struggle with the idea that you have to do or be to be accepted in God's eyes, then you need to read this book, He Loves Me, by Wayne Jacobson.
Thank you very much, Jason, for sharing that list. I enjoy reading. I'm not sure if I'm always brave enough and a good reader like some people I admire, Mr. Nathan, Joseph, Preacher David, my wife, Jason, and others. So I appreciate that challenge. And not long ago, my girls were, oldest girls were not sure they liked all of the books that Mr. Nathan read and encouraged and challenged them to read. But I said, absolutely. I'm saying you have to like everything about the book, but be inspired by a good reader and by challenged by literature and so on. Brother James, would you come up and take a selection and lead one song, and the from a selection, and the chorus will come forward on the last verse.
Someone have a selection? You know, I can come up with them, but I'm giving you a chance. 638, Church Hymnal. Church Hymnal, 638. All right. Certainly been inspiring to be here already this evening. Well, now, this one is a bit of a stretch, but it is a good one. I heard a sound of voices. Yes. I know we're planning to have the chorus come up on the last one. So, yes. I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Let's sing this song with our strength and give it our best. Yeah. Instead of the last verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's try verses 1-3 once then. And then we'll have a little chorus or something to kind of for the chorus to come up here. Oh, ho.
Harpers harping on their
pitch that down just a little for my sake, not for yours. Maybe we've sharpened it just that fast. I'm sure we need to go at least a half, but maybe we better go a whole. Oh, no good. No work. Oh, no soul second birth from every clime and king and nations from afar as serried ranks returning home in trust from the war. I heard sorry, I was not better qualified to lead that for you this evening, but it is a great song. All right, why don't we just sing a verse of praise to God, immortal praise, while the chorus comes up. Praise to God,
The next song that we have is called In a Country Far Away, and it tells the story of the prodigal son. It's a story song, and somehow when you hear this story in song, it becomes especially moving. At least that was my experience. And this one in our next song, the one that I'll be teaching you all as well tonight, comes from this little booklet here. You're probably familiar with this by now, Follow Me, Singing the Words of Jesus. This is just a little plug-in for this book. This is a great book to have in your homes for singing with your family. It's mostly pretty simple songs. I'm using it as a supplement with my students, and I brought in a bunch of them for the choir. And there's something about singing words and messages of Jesus that, I don't know, when you come across those verses later in the Bible, they just ring in a new way, which I really appreciate. All right, the last song that we have is the one that you have printed out there. I think there's a few in the front, you young folks, so you can follow along as well. We'll sing through. It's a very simple tune, melody, harmony, basses especially. Pay attention to, there's a lot of little runs. They aren't hard runs, but they move in at a pace that maybe you'll be uncomfortable with. So just follow along as we sing this. And then we'll turn right around and give you all a chance to practice it as well. And there's a ladies' verse on verse 3, and then the men will be singing unison on verse 4 because they are merchants. So listen for the merchants when we get to that spot. So y'all listen, follow along while we sing this through first time through. All right, your turn. We will sing the first verse in unison, just to kind of get the feel of actually singing it, and then we'll come back to verse one, and we'll just break into parts and go, I think. And so verse three will be the ladies then, and verse four, men unison. Everybody in unison, melody.
The soul. The kingdom of our God is like a treasure trove concealed beneath the ground, for which one sells all else to buy that field.
Good. All right, in parts, starting in verse 1, all together.
No meat and no soul, no. The kingdom of our God is like a treasure trove concealed beneath the ground, for which one sells all else to buy that field.
Verse 2.
The kingdom of
ladies, verse, and if someone to sing the high tenor part, you may. Verse 3.
The kingdom of our God is like a yeast a woman takes and mixes into leaven each and every loaf she bakes.
All right, and verse 4 is the men and I told them they need to sound like merchants on their camels. So men, just really give it the strength of merchants happily singing their way home from the East Indies, maybe.
The soul.
Everybody on Mellison.
The kingdom of our God is like a merchant who to all the rarest pearls sells everything to gain.
And then all parts back in.
The kingdom of our God is like a net which has been cast,
Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm at an event where they teach us a new song, I always hate when we just do it once. And I finally got it, and I didn't really have a chance to enjoy actually singing it right. Sometimes it takes several verses. So we'll do it one more time, if y'all can bear with that. And just go ahead and stand where you're at. And after this, we'll turn the time over to the ministers from the top.
The soul, the kingdom of the God is like a treasure trove concealed beneath the ground for which one sells all else to buy that field. The kingdom of our God is like a mustard seed in size, which grows to offer nesting space for every bird that flies.
The kingdom of our God is like the yeast a woman takes and mixes into leaven each and every loaf she bakes.
The kingdom of our God is like a merchant who to all the rarest pearls sells everything to gain that pearl alone.
The kingdom of our God is like a net which has been cast and draws in good and bad, which must be sorted out at last.
You may be seated. Thank you so much.